One of the benefits of traveling is that it allows you to do things you wouldn't ordinarily do at home, even if you could. You know, the New Yorker who has never been to the top of the Empire State Building sort of thing. Last month, Kathy and I visited her Uncle Jimmy in Sarasota, Florida, where I had the chance to do several things I don't do here. In the first place, Jim lives in one of those numerous gated golf course communities that are sprinkled around Sarasota. Specifically, he lives in a tile-roofed stucco duplex that looks out on the fifth green of the golf course. In other words, the kind of location I normally avoid like the plague. But despite my prejudices, I found myself enjoying it quite a bit. Part of it was the weather, which, for the week we were there, was perfect. In the high 70s, clear, dry, with light southerly breezes, I rediscovered the pleasure of dressing in 30 seconds, wearing a minimal amount of clothes and feeling soft air on my limbs. Jim's condo was next door to the community pool, and so almost daily I went for a dip, and then lay on one of those plastic-strapped beach chairs, slathered in sunscreen and getting some rays, something else I almost never do at home. The massive, fluffy, fair-weather clouds moved like dream beasts across the sky, and it was easy to see why early civilizations considered the sun a god. It was the source of everything: food, warmth, rain, fire, and you could not look directly upon its face. But the real unexpected treat was the view from the screened patio, or what Floridians call a lanai. On a low, undulating rise about 150 feet beyond the patio was the golf course's fifth green, surrounded by a perimeter of fairway and scattered live oaks, palms, and longleaf pines. All day long, with clockwork regularity, pairs of golf carts rolled up to the green, dispensing foursomes of players. I never watch golf at home, much less play it, but I was somehow fascinated by these golfers. Perhaps it was their intense and repetitive movements, knocking their little balls into the little hole. Or perhaps it was their uniform plumage of golf caps, short-sleeved shirts, plaid Bermuda shorts, white socks, and gold shoes, which gave them a ritualistic appearance, something like watching avian courting rituals at home. The effect was heightened by the presence of actual birds on the fairway, a pair of sandhill cranes, startlingly large, elegant birds over 4 feet tall with bright red foreheads and long black legs, stalking along the fairway less than 20 feet from the golfers. Even more remarkable was the presence of a single, yellow, fuzzy chick with them, about the size of a chicken, wobbling on still short legs. I had no idea that sandhill cranes, which normally nest in the high Arctic, would be found on a Sarasota golf course, let alone breed there. Occasionally, the cranes announced their presence with loud, rattling squawks. But in general, both cranes and golfers seemed quite used to each other's presence. Only occasionally did one of the golfers glance in their direction, or one of the cranes stare at a putter, as if silently criticizing his stroke. Only once were both golfers and cranes startled. That was at noon, on Tuesday, March 8th, when an enormous sonic boom split the sky from 80,000 feet overhead. It was the Space Shuttle Discovery, entering the Earth's atmosphere for the last time. Something else I couldn't have experienced at home.